No relation to Jonathan. From the text line, as far as Chiefs memories, what sold it for you? Someone says the drafting of Derek Thomas. They're probably a Bama fan. They're like, you know, like Derek Thomas. I will say this. Derek Thomas is my all-time favorite Chief. All-time favorite. And you're kind of young, but I'm sure you've seen a lot of the videos and stuff on Derek Thomas. Derek Thomas is a legend, man. I mean, Derek Thomas was really the reason for the rise, you know, of Arrowhead. He and Neil Smith on the sides. But Derek Thomas, man, and what he can do, that 7 sacks he had against David Craig in that game. But I've gotten one jersey of the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's it. And that was Derek Thomas. And I said I'd never buy another one. I've bought plenty of Chiefs shirts or sweatshirts or whatever, but never a jersey with the name on the back. It was DT. Retired it, man. It's DT.
Have you stayed true to that? Still the only jersey you own?
I've had hockey jerseys and stuff. But no, I don't have names on the back. It's the only one I've ever had a name on the back.
So you don't have a Mahomes or a Kelsey or anything?
No. No. I have rules, man. I have rules. I don't think I've talked to you. So I have rules. Like, you don't buy a jersey if you're... You don't buy a Mahomes if you're, you know, 250 plus or 240 plus. You just don't do it because you don't want that. Or 300 pounders. Like, how many times have you seen, like, I remember when Tyreek Hill was here, you see 300 pounders wearing his jerseys. Like, you don't stretch out that one and zero, man. Like, you don't. That's where you get a lineman jersey or whatever. But I've been linebacker size, you know, in high school and stuff. So that's the DT I got because it's perfect. You know, wearing a 58 and this is right size group.
Gotcha.
Like I'm too big probably for a Mahomes jersey.
I see.
I mean,
everyone's got their own thing.
Well, I just think that you get the jersey of kind of the size you are. You know what I'm saying? And now it's much different now. Everybody wears different numbers, so you see a lot of linemen, you know, wearing the lower digit numbers now. It's not necessarily where it used to be.
I know. I'm not a huge fan of that. I'm still not accustomed to seeing a linebacker wear number 4.
I mean, your traditional centers are in the 50s or 60s. You can't see that. But guard 60s, tackle 70s. Get a Chris Jones, man. You're a big dude. Get a Chris Jones. Or get a lineman.
It's like when I see these wide receivers.
Get a Creed Humphrey if you're a big dude, man. Get a Trey Smith.
Hey. Yeah. To each their own.
To each their own. I will say this, though. With Derek Thomas, that draft, and you're a draft Nick as well, that 1989 NFL draft, that top 5.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Is interesting. The first player selected then was Aikman. He's in the Hall of Fame. 3 rings. Number 2 was Tony Mandarich. That was like the test you do where, like,
bust.
You have, like, it'd be like apple, orange, banana, Volkswagen. Like, who's the one that doesn't fit in with that? It was Mandarich, bust. But then number 3 pick that year, Barry Sanders. How good was he?
I'd say he worked out. I'd say that was a good pick.
Hall of Fame. Number 4 pick that year, Derek Thomas. Hall of Fame. Number 5 pick that year, Deion Sanders. Hall of Fame. 4 out of the top first 5 picks in the 1989 draft are in the Hall of Fame. Again, Troy Aikman, Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, Deion Sanders. That's silly.
The Packers are definitely kicking themselves for what they did there at number
the
2.
The Packers end up with Mandarich.
The Packers really missed out on that one.
Steve Atwater was later on in that draft. He's in the Hall of Fame. At pick 20, the Broncos got Atwater. He was, of course, he's in the Hall of Fame as well. But yeah, that was an interesting interesting first part of that draft. Unbelievable stuff for the first part of the draft. Well, Rashee Rice meets with the judge, Susie L. Robinson, on September 30th. Of course, this can be, you know, settled before then. Will it be settled? I mean, I don't think so. It kind of works out in my – I feel works out in their favor because they get him through those tough games. You get Rashee Rice against the Chargers. You turn around, you get to play Philadelphia the next. You get him then. Gives Jalen Royals times to get up and running, you know, get acclimated with the NFL for when you're going to have the Rice suspension. Hopefully, it's just 4 games, and that after that September 30th meeting, you get those 4 games because then he's back for the Buffalo Bills game. Like, that would be the perfect storm to me. And this ex-judge, Susie Robinson, that the third party that's looking at the NFL discipline case in this, she's done one other case, and that was Deshaun Watson. We know all the stuff Deshaun did. She gave him 6 games. After all that, 6 games. And that bodes well. That's why when people saw this name, I'm like, well, wait a minute. She only gave Deshaun Watson 6 games. I mean, this, think about this. That could be three games for Rashee Rice, right? But the NFL said not so fast, and then they appealed it with Deshaun, and he ended up getting 11 games. So he got five more games than what their individual arbitrator, Susie L. Robinson, gave Deshaun Watson. So did she learn a lesson? She's like, I'm not going to be so lenient this time. I'm not going to bring the hammer down on Rashee Rice. Of course, they're crying across the country. Oh, the Chiefs get all the breaks. They're saying exactly what I'm saying, that he's going to play the first through September. Chiefs are going to build that record 3-1, 4-1, 4-0, wherever they are. Then all of a sudden, sit out four games. The Raiders are mixed in there and the Jags and stuff. There's some, you know, the Commanders are in there. So there's some tough games in there. Every game in the NFL is tough, to be honest with you. It just is. But then the Buffalo Bills, right there. I'm sure in Buffalo they're crying about it. I'm sure that they're crying about it. And then one thing, too, the Buffalo Bills, you know, they're crying about Kansas City, too, because they're probably watching this Chiefs Kingdom show. And you know what? One of the original members of the AFL, Buffalo Bills, were because of Lamar Hunt, there'd be no Buffalo Bills. But he wanted to expand into different areas, and Buffalo Bills is one of those teams. I had to send a reminder to my friend out in Buffalo, does radio out there, because he's bragging about this new stadium they're getting for the Bills next year that'll open, how there's no wind. You know, that was on Hard Knocks, too. No wind, you know, inside the stadium there, because Rich Stadium has all that wind and stuff. And I said, you know who designed that, right? You know who designed that stadium, right? Populous in Kansas City. So a Kansas City company designed your new stadium. And then they're in the Hallmark movie this year, and you remind them, you know where Hallmark's based? Kansas City. Like, they can't get away from Kansas City. But anyway, it's a different subject for a different day. But regardless, will Rashee Rice, in this thing, we'll dance around. We've been sitting here. I thought once Jordan Addison was kind of settled that we'd get the Rashee Rice news. That way the Chiefs could plan, okay, we don't have him. And then you make plan B for not having Rashee Rice. But it's still a plan A if you want to be that way, because they know they're going to have Rashee Rice for these games if they don't settle this before. But it didn't have to be settled till then. But they can make plans having Rice going forward. And what's the direction they're going to go? What did Rashee Rice actually want? Well, Nate Taylor, who covers the Chiefs for ESPN, was on Cody and Gold today. He comes on this station, all the channels. This is what Nate had to say about how maybe Rashee Rice would be taking this news, having to wait till the 30th.
This is what Rashee Rice wanted.
Okay.
Is the way I'm reading this, based on all the conversations I had. And again, I think the Players Union is trying its best, given their situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Trying their best to do right by a client where, hey, now the question, you know, okay, we know he's going to be there on September, right? For all the games September. Hey, four games, you know, I think the Chiefs are thrilled with this development. Obviously, this is what Rashee Rice wanted.
Well, that kind of limits the fact of trying to settle something, right? Wouldn't you say that, Jackson, if this is kind of what he wants?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but I think it clearly shows that he's healthy and ready to go after last year's knee injury that took him out for the season. If he was still kind of dealing with that and he wasn't quite sure if he was going to be 100% by week one, wouldn't you just take the suspension off the bat? But I feel like he thinks he's
ready.
But
you want to get off to start, because you've seen the Bengals and that slow start they get off to, and it buries them for the season. And when you start off 0-2, it really cripples your chances of getting to the postseason. I mean, the stats are there. Now, it's not as bad now with the 17th game that's in there. It's kind of skewed the stats different directions since they made that switch in 2021. But this is what Nate thinks about the Chiefs, what he thinks as far as the Chiefs and how they're kind of thinking, or what they would be thinking about the suspension, looming suspension.
I think the NFL will have its case ready to go, you would assume, by September 30th.
I hope so.
If you're the Chiefs, you're like, hey, I just looked at the calendar, fellas. It's very easy for anybody to do. I just wrote this for ESPN.com alongside Adam Schefter. If everything goes the way the Chiefs want, Rashee Rice will get a four-game suspension, which means he would be eligible to return on November 2nd against the Buffalo Bills right before their bye week. The NFL, if they say it's six games, that means you're going to have to miss all that time, the bye week, the next game, and then you come back in the middle of November, which obviously means you're going to have a little bit less of a run-up to get Rashee Rice ready to go for postseason time, we all assume.
And according to Nate, this would maybe be good for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes. This is a surprise for a couple reasons. Really quick. Rashee Rice must have some of the greatest lawyers that money can buy. Because normally, and again, We saw what happened. I don't know if you guys mentioned this. We saw what happened with Jordan Addison for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat similar situation. He's already been suspended. Now, each situation is different. So Rasheed has made it clear that he wants to play. He wants to start the season in uniform for the Chiefs. His lawyers have essentially accomplished that. The players' union has essentially accomplished that. And I think the second reason why this is surprising, too, is this comes at this point in the lead-up to opening night in Brazil against the Chargers. We have now concluded training camp, and now the Chiefs have 3 weeks to really prepare for what their offense is going to look like with Josh Simmons at left tackle, right, with Kingsley, we presume, at left guard. Now you know you have your full complement of receivers. I don't think we're going to see Hollywood Brown, guys, until the Chiefs are in Brazil. So you have the actual offense on paper potentially being on the field against the Chargers, which has to infuriate their AFC West rival because we know the Chargers have more injuries right now. Obviously, they're not going to have Rashawn Slater, one of their best pass protectors in the game. But for the Chiefs and for Patrick Mahomes specifically, okay, I know I have my revamped offensive line. I have my number one receiver in Rashee Rice. I still got Travis Kelce, who's looked very good in training camp. And now we have everybody in their proper role. Hey, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be our possession receiver. We know what Xavier Worthy can do on the deep ball. Hey, I might have Tyquan Thornton for a couple snaps just to see if he can win one-on-one based on what he's shown in training camp in the preseason. And then, of course, you know, I still have Jalen Royals. I still have Hollywood Brown and what limited role he'll have on opening night. This gives the Chiefs plenty of time to really be prepared and be ready to go on opening night against the Chargers because they now know Rashee Rice will be in uniform.
I guarantee you the Chargers right now are going, because you know they were banking on this. You know they were banking on the Chiefs not having Rice. And now they get this news. You know they were banking on that. That's what's so funny about this whole deal. That's what's 100% so funny on this. But what does Nate think Andy Reid's thinking about the Rashee Rice situation? Because it does factor in, and we'll discuss it coming up after the break, as far as what's it going to do to the end of the roster. They can keep 7 receivers. Do things change now? Since Rashee Rice may not get suspended until in October, see what happens. But this is what Nate thinks that Andy might be thinking.
Over the last few years, I'm so glad you mentioned this, Cody, because if you would have told me in like 2019, 2020, yes, this would be his standard, you know, stamping in approval. Just get it out of the way. But I'm going to bring a couple examples. The Chiefs signed Charles Omenihu knowing he was likely going to be suspended because of his own, domestic situation January prior to him returning to the team. They still signed him, came back in the middle of the year, obviously made impactful plays in the postseason to lead them for the Super Bowl. Everyone has said this. I shouldn't say everyone, but I know some fans have reached out to me and said, hey, could this be similar? And I didn't know at the time, but we got a much better answer now. Could this be like Willie Gay? Hey, and this was handled better, I think, publicly from both sides than the Willie Gay situation, which is, hey, this thing also happened in like late season, postseason time. Okay, when does it get adjudicated? When does it get cleared, you know, legally? What are the parties agree to? And then tick, 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 tick. Yeah, it's 4 games in October. Well, the Chiefs knew that before the public did, before the league had to announce it. But, hey, Willie Gay came back. Guess what happened, kids? Played really well, was an impactful player. They won the Super Bowl. I think Andy understands for Rasheed's own world, he would like to go back to playing football to get some level of normalcy. If we can offer him that, and, you know, Andy has no say in this, of course, but understandably, if we can offer him that and he can come back and he can be with the team and he can be successful and he can see the full circle of, hey, man, what you lost based on the injury, what you lost financially, like all these things will better serve you in terms of actually what he tells us. Hey, I think he's actually learned something. So, hey, let's see this next phase of it. You know, let's see you perform well. Glad to have you back. Obviously, you're going to take some suspension. Hey, it is your prerogative to have your legal team, you know, argue your case to give you as much time before you have to serve a suspension, which, again, everyone I talk to still says, yes, he's going to be suspended. It's just you're doing the legal process now with the NFL, in which you can have the time to actually perform on the field for a little bit and get back to being get a slice of what you hope your NFL career and your life will be before you have to do the suspension. I think Andy Reid's okay with that, just because he's gone through this with a few other guys, and based on the injury, based on the financials of it all, hey, the Chiefs need to evaluate him too. I think that's a big thing. They would like to evaluate him in the early part of the season. Hey, how does he handle the suspension? Hey, how does he perform when he comes back from the suspension towards the postseason? Because guess what, kids? Next spring,
yeah,
we can actually have some conversation about an extension, and we would like to see how you handled every little piece along the way so that we can go to the negotiation table and say, okay, here's what the organization feels comfortable with based on what we saw you do the entire calendar year from last spring to this spring.
And that's the thing about it. You'd probably get the hometown discount on a guy that's on probation. It'd be much different, and that is kind of the connection with Mahomes. I mean, every quarterback needs their guy.
Of course.
So, I mean, there's some reasons there for the Chiefs wanting to delay this. What you don't want to see is it be, you know, appealed after the decision. Let's say Susie Robinson makes a decision, then that's appealed by the NFL, then that takes – well, probably if the NFL got involved in Roger Goodell, they wouldn't drag it out very long. But again, you don't want to see somebody miss from like December or November all the way through December. You don't want to see that.
I will say this, Bink. The one case she handled before, which was Deshaun Watson, was a lot bigger of a deal. Like, that was huge all around the league. Deshaun Watson was an NFL quarterback, first of all, which puts you on a higher pedestal already.
Could have been here.
He could have been here, but thank goodness he wasn't. But the point I'm trying to make is Rashee Rice getting suspended won't be as big of a deal as Deshaun Watson's suspension. If she gives him...
Not even close, but she gave him six games.
If she gives Rashee three, I don't think the league is going to step in and be like, wait, we got to do more. And that, like, they did that with Deshaun Watson. I don't think they're going to do that with Rashee Rice.
It's kind of like what I told you. Like, all right, well, the Chiefs, you know, they do bring in millions of dollars to the National Football League. All our TV partners, like, throwing them on the streaming service for the first game, because they literally have. I just mentioned Netflix, YouTube, Amazon, Peacock. All had Chiefs as their first playoff game. Now, Peacock did do a regular season game with the Chargers and Bills, but their first playoff game was the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, these television partners keep throwing in the millions of dollars for that. But what does it mean for the roster for the Kansas City Chiefs? We still thinking seven guys? Still thinking seven receivers? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back. Well, it didn't take long for Florio to chime in about Rashee Rice.
What's he saying?
Well, on X, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio says, Jordan Addison and Rashee Rice pled guilty the same day. In caps, same day. Addison will miss the first three games of the season. Rice will be available for four and likely five high-profile games. Source, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but this is odd. From a source, is he that source? That's the question. Florio says this in an article. It says, it makes no sense, and it's making some wonder whether someone wants Rice to be available for a quartet of high-profile Kansas City games to start the season. From week one against the Chargers in Brazil on YouTube to week two against the Eagles at 3:25 on Fox to week three against the Giants on Sunday Night Football to week four against the Ravens. Rice is now good to go. You knew the conspiracy theories were going to start coming up, right? Like, the season ain't started, and it's like, oh, Chiefs are getting all the breaks. What happens if he gets slapped with a suspension, has to miss most of November and December? I mean, all of this is on the table. This could happen. He could have to miss the Bills game and everything else, and you get that chemistry and that continuity. I mean, so many ex-Chiefs will say, you know, find out who and what you are after October. You know, get into November and December, and that's when you start building who and what you are. You have your MO of what your team is. You have your rhythm. You know exactly who and what you are. It's like baseball. You say, wait till June 1st to find out what baseball team you have.
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation where, of course, the league is going to be upset that Jordan Addison got the three games, especially Florio, because he's a Vikings fan.
Oh, he says, many thank the Chiefs. League favors them. Situations like this, it looks like the dominoes have fallen in a way to ensure Rice will be available for YouTube, CBS.
But like you
NBC.
Said, this could hurt the Chiefs more than it could help them.
It could. We
it
don't
could
know the
end
ending.
Up being worse for them than him just getting suspended to start the season.
We
so.
Do know the rest of the book. We don't know the rest
we
of the story, but I knew this would start happening.
Of course. Of course. I mean, they think everything's a conspiracy with the Chiefs. It literally took them losing by a bajillion points in the Super Bowl for them to start being quiet. And even then, they were like...
And I guarantee in Buffalo, they're saying, what's going to happen? It's going to be four games right before the Bills game. He's coming back right before that. You know that's what's going to happen.
They all think the league is just tailor-made for the Chiefs.
Yeah, probably already is. But but you knew this was going to happen. Matt Vergram, who works for Sports Illustrated, covers the Chiefs, of course. A Chiefs fan, but he covers the NFL as well. He was on with CDOT earlier, and he does think, like I do, the suspension timeline beneficial for the Chiefs.
There's been a lot of talk back and forth. Is this beneficial for the Chiefs? Is it not? Maybe I'm in the minority. I actually think it benefits the Chiefs. I really do. I think, you know, now he's going to play, unless they come to an agreement beforehand, a settlement. He's going to play against the Eagles. He's going to play against the Ravens. He's going to play against the Chargers. Like, I think if you're Kansas City, I think it's a win. Like, if he gets suspended later and he's out for November, I look at their schedule in November. You know, they're playing Indianapolis and Dallas. Like, they should win those games, even if he's not there. So, I think it's beneficial, dependent, of course, upon, you know, that he's not suspended for, like, playoff games and stuff like that.
So, there's Matt Vergram there as far as being beneficial. So, I clicked on the tweet there by Floria.
Mm-hmm.
Because he curious what the responses would be. Because
sure.
There's going to be a dumpster fire, right? Except for Chiefs fans. They'll get on there and, you know, rip Florio. First one there, you know, it's Chiefs fan says, weren't you going to quit covering football years ago? Here's another one. Timing smells suspicious to me. Another one that has to be a Chiefs fan says, let's not do this narrative again this year. The next comment, NFL still protecting the Chiefs.
They didn't do much protecting
of the
Chiefs.
And then the rest of it's just a dumpster fire.
They didn't do much protecting of the Chiefs in that Super Bowl. I'll just point that out. People were really quiet after it was a foregone conclusion that the Chiefs are going to rig it for the Chiefs to three-peat. And then after they didn't, all of a sudden the conspiracy theorists are like,
let's start now before the season starts.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Florio? Just sit back and enjoy the kingdom. Enjoy the kingdom.
Tonight. I'm sure he's just salty.
Enjoy episode one about basically a lot about Mahomes and the history of the league. And then episode two is all about Andy Reid. Enjoy tonight's.
I'm sure he's just salty that he's a Vikings fan, that Addison got the suspension, and Rice gets to start the season. Florio has always been a very biased Vikings reporter.
He does interviews with, like, you know, front office speech and stuff like that, the combine and stuff like that. Again, I tell these guys like Florio, I just talk to the middle finger, man. If you want to do an interview, talk to this. Because all you do is trash us. Because you want clicks.
Yeah.
But are they going to keep seven? I think they still are. I don't think this changes that. Because then again, when you look at the math and say, well, we know Rice is on the team. You know Xavier Worthy's on the team. You know Hollywood Brown's on the team. You know Jalen Royals is on the team. And I think, be honest with you, because they've asked him to be a leader in the wide receiver room and everything else. He knows Juju. Juju's.
He'll be there.
90% chance he's on the roster. But then
you'd have to think.
Then you got, if you do keep seven, which they've kept seven the last 2 years, and this would be another year to keep seven, especially with the health of Hollywood Brown. You never know what you're going to get. You got to take it easy with them. And then with the Rice suspension, you know what's going to happen at some point. And you don't want somebody else to gobble up your players if you throw them on the practice squad. But Tyquan Thornton, I think, is on, man. Huge special teamer. Dave Tobe likes him. He's also a gunner on special teams. Can play receiver as well. He's got that blazing 4.28 speed. So, yeah, and he's a 50th pick in the draft a couple years ago with the Patriots. I think he's on. And then it'd be an argument, I guess, between Brownlee, who's kind of been that camp surprise, had a nice catch, of course, on that back shoulder fade in preseason game one, or Nico Remigio. I think Nico gets the upper hand there because of returnability. Of course, he had that. Yeah, Brownlee made a great catch in the end zone. But Nico gave you 48 yards on a return. And Dave Tobe keeps talking about how good a return he is. We know how good he is. He had three returns for touchdowns at Fresno.
Yeah.
So the guy gets in the end zone. I still think seven is what they keep, though.
I believe it will be seven as well. Especially with the, like you said, the Rice suspension. They have to consider that. And also on top of that, Hollywood Brown is a gigantic question mark when it comes to his health. So I think seven is the number they keep.
Because even if he plays week one, you're like, okay, well, you know what's... They have to sit out a game or two, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they keep Sky Moore. This is the year they've got to get him, right? This is the year they've got to cut Sky Moore. There's no reasonable explanation to keep him on the roster anymore. Remigio, I think, sticks it out as a special teamer. Of course, Worthy, no doubt there. And like I'm like you, I like Tyquan Thornton. I think he makes the roster. Jalen Royals, of course, is going to make the roster. So I think 7 is the right number, Bink. I think that's where they do it at. I think Brownlee could be the odd man out, stick him on the practice squad, hope nobody picks him up.
And I think two guys that people know really well, and Sky Moore and Josh Williams, guys that win championships, I think both of them aren't on this roster. Sky Moore, I don't think you can get anything for at all.
No.
But Josh Williams, I could still see him getting some for like a 7th rounder. Nothing more than that, but like a 7th rounder. It was a 4th round pick, 6'3". He's won, but he didn't beat out Jalen Watson. Had a chance last year, didn't do it. But I think those two names right there will be names people have heard of that you won't see on the 53.
I think so.
Because I think Chris Roland Wallace has thrown himself on there. And I think Nazi Johnson's back there's corner as well.
He probably will.
I think Josh might be the odd man out.
Chat saying Bob Tonyan, Robert Tunyon's going to make the roster for sure. I think we both agree.
I think Tunyon's on because
I think he makes it.
He's 31. And I get it if you're saying for the future, you know, Jared Wiley, you like the promise and the hope. But I think the Chiefs are in the win now mode because right now you get the core still here. You got Chris Jones, you know, before he's too old. You don't know about Travis. This could be it for him. He's last year of his contract. But you kind of win now. You know, you throw all the eggs in the basket. You try to win now. Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to continue to be good, and that's going to happen when you have Mahomes. You're going to continue to be good. But I think Robert would help the team more this year.
Well, the most recent depth chart they put out, which I've got in front of me right now, on the 11th of, you know, this week's depth chart has Tonyan as wide or tight end 3, excuse me. Wiley is 4 on the depth chart. And, of course, that's subject to change. But
and I like Wiley. I like Wiley a lot.
I don't think they're getting rid of Wiley in by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they really are planning on going forward with Kelsey, Noah Gray, Robert Tonyan, and Jared Wiley. I think they go with 4.
But as far as the cornerbacks, you know, are concerned with the Chiefs right now, it's McDuffie and Watson on the depth chart. Snow Williams, Nazi, second string. Again, take this with a grain of salt because I think the PR department puts this out, and Josh Williams back there with Melvin Smith after that. But Noah Williams, make no mistake about it, Noah Williams is a stud, man.
He's going to play.
I think he's better than Josh Williams right now, and he's a rookie.
He's going to play.
He's going to play.
He is for sure going to play.
But what you're going to see tomorrow night's game, and you can hear it right here on 96.5 The Fan, what's Andy Reid going to do with the starters? Kind of interesting what he's going to do with some of his starters in this game. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, Chiefs Kingdom's rolling on, and people are just getting so mad about the Chiefs. I just know what's going on right now, man. I just know what's going on right now. Florio's busy putting out articles talking about the Chiefs getting over on the NFL once again. Way before you even know. This thing could be settled. Honestly, they can settle it technically to where it's like, man, he misses the beginning of the season. You don't know. I mean, yes, it's slated to see an arbitrator, you know, later on, but we don't know what's going to happen. You can't guess the future. You have no idea. You can speculate. It's like guessing on somebody's injury when they get hurt. And you have all the social media doctors out there telling you how long somebody's going to be out. We don't know. But I'll say this, Jackson. You plan on watching the game tomorrow night? I mean, I assume you would. I'm assuming.
I'll be tuning in. I don't know if I'll watch the entire game, but I'll definitely watch part of it.
See, I actually think the number 2 game is kind of interesting, and I get it. You know, Mahomes is out there with Travis. They were in the on the scout team and stuff. They're not playing. He, you know, basically said he's not. You won't see Mahomes in game 2. And so it leads speculation to people. Well, he was gonna might be playing against the Bears at Arrowhead, right, in preseason game 3. That might be a stretch. That could happen. Not saying it won't happen. Just to, you know, get some kind of action before you see the season. But I think they're okay with him just going to practice. But I wouldn't play any starters in game 3. I mean, that's like the last preseason game. I wouldn't do it. I mean, you typically didn't do it when there's 4 games. You didn't do it. And this is what teams have done across the NFL. And they'll probably say, oh, he's not playing the game and stuff like that. This is what guys are doing, man. Did you not see Josh Allen not play in the first preseason game? Aaron Rodgers hadn't played in one yet and probably won't play. This is the new thing in the league. Lamar Jackson was already doing interviews in street clothes in the second quarter of his first preseason game. You know, this is for development of the guys. But the offensive line is supposed to play. Like, that's the key thing. All the guys that you want to see will be playing in preseason game 2. Now, I've heard people saying it watered down, you know, if Mahomes not playing a lot. Well, what the hell do you expect, man? Mahomes barely played in the first one. He threw one pass. One. So you're not watching the preseason game because Mahomes not in it. Well, he threw one pass for a one-yard touchdown in the first game. And he turned around and handed off to Pacheco the first play. But that's not what you want to watch the preseason game for. Aren't you more curious about what's going on with Josh Simmons? Because he looked pretty good in game one. He really did. Kingsley Suamatia, I think that's the real one you really want to watch. The left guard situation, did Kingsley grow from that first experiment? Because I get it, wasn't so many bad plays with him, but it was a lot of the footwork and the punch, you know, wasn't there, what you want to see, but then was beaten on a blitz. You know, probably 40% of the time, the quarterback turns the ball over, getting an unabated hit like that on them. So, yeah, I still want to see Kingsley. I want to see Simmons. I'd still see the offensive line, see him gelling, see the continuity, because that's, like, that's imperative they play, because they've got to be ready for game one, because that line needs to be ready. You know, Josh Simmons needs to see action against other teams and not just the guys in practice, because we see him dominate those live action where the quarterback can get hit.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You want the continuity between the offensive line. So getting live
reps. He'll probably play quite a bit.
Getting live reps for that O-line, those five, is very important. Whereas Mahomes, does he really need the live reps? Not really.
Mahomes doesn't need to play.
He doesn't need to at all. None of these elite quarterbacks need to play.
We don't need to see him come out there for a series, hand the ball off twice to Pacheco, and throw one pass to Tyquan Thornton or Brownlee. We don't see that.
We don't even need it. We know what we're getting. You can only bad things can happen. Nothing good is going to come out of it if they do decide to play him.
I mean, it's not an optimal schedule for him. You know, if people want to do the conspiracy, when you're going to the West Coast twice, when you're going up to Phoenix for the first preseason game, and then you're going back to St. Joe. You know, you get in at 3 o'clock in the morning for the plane flight, then have to go back to St. Joe. You know, now they just broke camp yesterday, and now they're flying out to Seattle. They're already there. They just arrived in Seattle a couple hours ago, so they're there. So they're out on the West Coast again, 9 o'clock game. Their bodies are acclimated to Central Time Zone. And now they're going to be playing, you know. Yeah, I know it's a 7 o'clock game there, but their body's still a 9 o'clock game. And that's what's going to happen. But there's a lot of guys you don't want to see. But what we want to see, you can still see. Like, if you really want to see the line development, that's what you want to see in game one. That's what you're going to see in game two. What else do you want to see? You want to see the wide receivers, right? Don't you want to see maybe a little more Brownlee? Hey, can this guy anyway sneak onto the roster? What kind of returns can Nico have? You know, how good is Nico when he gets thrown in there at wide receiver? You know, what's going to battle out for the end of the receiver? Jalen Royals, what's the production from your fourth-round pick look like? So much on him. Burchard in the backfield. You know, what's he going to do? Because no running back really stood out to you. And like, man, you know, that big game, you know, from a running back. So you get to see there's some running game. You see the wide receivers going. Like, you know, this defense can be good. So I'm not really concerned about that. But I want to see Noel Williams, you know, at their corner, the rookie corner. Would like to see some of that action.
Preseason is just meant for watching the younger guys.
See some more Norman Lott, because Norman Lott had a rough game.
You just
want to
watch the younger guys and the roster bubble guys. It's not meant for the starters.
But you can still see all that stuff. That's the thing. Yeah. Nothing's been taken away from you.
No.
But I kept thinking, well, you know, Mahomes not going to play, and he's going to rest some of the starters. Yeah, but the line's still going to play. You know, they, from all what I've heard, that he's still going to play those guys, and he should. Now, if he wants to rest them all against the Bears, the only preseason game at Arrowhead, go ahead, man. Rest them all. No one wants to see them in the last preseason game anyway. But tomorrow night, I think everything we want to see we'll still be able to see.
And I know it's a preseason game, but if you watch the first preseason game between the Raiders and Seahawks in Seattle, that crowd was still loud, very loud for a preseason game.
Well, it's a good place to go test because they're not doing the scrimmages against other teams.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It will be a good test for this offensive line to go into. It's not a regular season environment, but that is a loud stadium even in the preseason. So it'll be good for them to get some reps in there on the road, loud environment, new group of five together. There's no tuning this year. You know, there's new guys, fresh blood on that line. Get them some reps together and in real action before the real thing kicks off.
It's still good pizza and beer time, man. It's still good fire up the grill and have your friends and family over to watch guys try to make this roster.
It is. I mean, I'm not one of those people that would ever bet on a preseason game. I see people do that.
See some Robert Tonyan, man. Let's go. See some Jared Wiley.
I'm like, betting on a preseason game is a little wild, but I still love it. It's still fun to watch. It's still something. It's better than nothing.
The only time I ever would have been, I mean, I do like, you know, sports gambling and whatnot, but I would not bet on preseason football. Although there's one team I would have. You know what that team is?
Who?
It would have been the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, they went.
Now, they didn't always cover, but
they went years without losing a preseason game.
What did it get to over 20 games?
Yeah,
something like that?
Something crazy like that.
But I remember telling Alex Gold right around like the 18th when they had said, because he likes gambling, said that the Ravens, because they take it seriously. Like Harbaugh would take it seriously. John Harbaugh would take it seriously in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, take the Ravens money line in the preseason. That's been a very profitable bet. But other than that, I see people betting player props. Like someone last week put out a parlay where they had Mahomes over 30 and a half yards. And I was just like, man, you're really desperate for a bet right now if you're betting those things. No shame, you know. Hey, if you want to do it, go ahead. But I could never see myself putting down a bet on a player prop in the preseason.
Here was the streak. It was 24 straight good preseason wins from the Ravens from 2016 to 2023. Did not lose one.
Who did they end up losing it to? Do you have
to
it
the
up?
Washington Commanders?
That's who I thought it was.
By 1 point loss, 29-28, back on August 21st, 2023. But they went from 16 to 23, 24 freaking preseason wins in a row.
That is, I don't know if that's ever going to get touched again. That's
yeah, but had you taken the money line in the Ravens, you would have won some money in that time, right?
You would have.
And it's preseason football. But you find out what coaches take it seriously. Who's playing their star? Who's taking it seriously? Now they don't think they take it near as serious. Lamar Jackson barely plays at all. That's interesting. But our text line, 913-586-7965, will close the show like we started it, talking about why did you become a Chiefs fan and when you became a fan, because obviously the Chiefs Kingdom show tonight nationally on ESPN, as it will be next week as well on two different nights, the 19th and 20th. This is a 6-episode series, and a lot of people probably binge it because 6 of them are probably out now. I mean, I haven't checked ESPN Plus or whatever, but I assume once you put the first one out, they're all out there to binge. But regardless, people have been waiting for the show. You've seen the promos. And Malik Mustafa from the Niners, who Mahomes, you know, bodied before he got in the end zone, you know, was in the previews for the Kingdom show and stuff like that. You remember that? A little hit he had, the quarterback, he just laid out the safety from the Niners. Mustafa went straight down when Mahomes stiff-armed him right there. That was fun. Like, that was fun. We'll get to some of your texts about when you became a Chiefs fan next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. Text line, 816, where is the Chiefs' first game in Brazil going to be on? Is it going to be on local TV? Yeah, because the way things work, if it's being streamed and your Kansas City Chiefs are involved in the metro area, it will be on a TV station. But it's always, always on 96.5 The Fan. We always have the voice of Mitch Holtis and Dan and Hughes and Kling out at the game. So we'll have it. I think 41 will show it. They're the ones that have the rights, the TV rights. Although TV5 sneaks in too, because I think a Netflix game last year was on TV5. But yes, it'll be shown locally. But here's the thing. It's a free YouTube game. Now, I don't know if it's on YouTube TV. Do you carry YouTube TV at all, Jackson? Have you seen promos for it?
I do use YouTube TV.
Okay, so are they showing it on YouTube TV? I assume they would, but I'm just assuming.
I believe they are.
But I know it's going to be on regular YouTube too.
Yes,
meaning you get on the internet, you have a smart TV, you pull up.
I was looking on the app the other day, and there was 400 people waiting in the live stream, and that was
really
days. I mean, we're still days away.
But you just go to YouTube, just on your computer, whatever, on YouTube. So if your computer, your phone, whatever, you can go to YouTube and watch it. I think it's their free game, so you can go to regular YouTube and watch it. But if you have YouTube TV, clearly you'll get it there. But it'll be on a local TV station as well, so you won't have to search for that. Just know that as long as you're in Kansas City, they'll be shown. Whether the playoff game was on Peacock or whatever, it was still local. But we will always have the game. So count on that. In 9 days, you'll have K-State on as well. And you'll have the Kansas City Royals on. We have everything on, man.
You can always come into 96.5. We got everything you need.
96.5 The Fan, man.
We got everything you could need.
Just keep it on here. And that's another thing, too, for the 913. They fell in love with the Chiefs because of Mitch Holtis. They drove a truck around a lot during Chiefs games or something. So
he's a legend.
They'd be out and about, and so they could always, you know, count on hearing the voice of Mitch Holtis.
Voice of the Chiefs.
Describe the games and the action, because he does such a great job of, you know, describing the game, what's going on, just kind of the atmosphere. But he does a great job. And I know a lot of people that'll, you know, go out to the stadium, put the headset on, you know, hear Mitch and Dana and Kling on the sideline. They'll watch the game, but they'll want to hear, you know, Mitch, you know, describing the game and the action. So I get that text, and I get that. That's how you fell in love with the Chiefs, was Mitch Holtis. Because a lot of people fall in love with the Royals because of the voice of Denny Matthews,
yeah,
through the years. So whether you're out mowing, you had the headset on or whatever. But yeah, this guy drove a truck around the city, wasn't able to watch a lot of the games, but Mitch Holthus would always keep him, you know, abreast of the situation and what's going on in the football game. I get that. I like hearing that. It's from a radio station here. That's fun. It's fun that you get excited about hearing that. But Mitch gets you excited, man. I've told Mitch before, man. I said, you made me want to run through a wall, man. Like, I like having him as a guest and everything. He's talking about the game, and he knows everything. And you got to see his draft guide, too. You got to see how thick this book is that he carries around. Him and Matt Mullen doing a great job.
It would be heaven for me to read that.
Oh, it's good stuff, man. Great stuff. Jackson, great stuff by you. Don't forget to go back and watch the Kingdom tonight.
You bet you I will.
Your Kansas City Chiefs, they'll be on later tonight, too. Plus, you can stream it all, too, if you want to. Yeah. And I'm sure you'll be doing that because you're at that age where you stream everything.
Of course.
Anyway, good night, everybody. Bob and Dusty, 5:58 tomorrow morning with Mac.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.